Thank you for having me over here this evening. It's lovely to be with you again. It's a pleasure to come and share with you. For those of you who haven't clocked me before, my name's Mark. I'm one of the ministers. I'm the assistant minister at Creech Baptist Church. So it's nice to be in this area, and I've known Barry and Rosemary years. So it's lovely to come and worship with you this evening. Shall I just pray as we start this evening, and then we're going to worship and open God's word together. So, Father God, thank you for your word. Thank you for words that make us smile when we read your word, that make us laugh and have joy. And I pray that as we come into your presence, come into your house tonight, Lord, would we know that joy as we lift your name in praise, as we lift your name in song, as we reflect on your word. Lord, would you lift our heads? Would you lift us up, Lord, as we lift you up tonight, Lord? We are so thankful. We are so grateful for all that you've done for us. And we say thank you for Jesus tonight. We say thank you for all that you've done for us through Jesus. Lord Jesus, we worship you tonight. May we fix our eyes on you, I pray. Amen. Mark chapter 9, and it's verses 2 to 12, and then we're going to skip on and just do the last two verses, 30 to 32. I wonder if someone would come and read that for me this evening. You can even just stand there and read off the screen, or does someone want to fancy reading that for us this evening? Yeah, thank you. Come on up. Brilliant. Thanks for that.
After 6 days, Jesus took Peter, James, and John with him and led them up a high mountain where they were all alone. There he was transfigured before them. His clothes became dazzling white, whiter than anyone in the world could bleach them. And there appeared before them Elijah and Moses, who were talking with Jesus. Peter said to Jesus, "Rabbi, it is good for us to be here. Let us put up three shelters, one for you, one for Moses, and one for Elijah." He did not know what to say. They were so frightened. Then a cloud appeared and covered them, and a voice came from the cloud, "This is my Son, whom I love. Listen to him." Suddenly, when they looked around, they no longer saw anyone with them except Jesus. As they were coming down the mountain, Jesus gave them orders not to tell anyone what they had seen until the Son of Man had risen from the dead. They kept the matter to themselves, discussing what rising from the dead meant. And they asked him, "Why do the teachers of the law say that Elijah must come first?" Jesus replied, "To be sure, Elijah does come first and restores all things. Why then is it written that the Son of Man must suffer much and be rejected?" They left that place and passed through Galilee. Jesus did not want anyone to know where they were, because he was teaching his disciples. He said to them, "The Son of Man is going to be delivered into the hands of men. They will kill him, and after 3 days he will rise." But they did not understand what he meant, and were afraid to ask him about it.
Brilliant, thank you. Yeah, thank you, that's good. Let me just pray before I speak on this passage this evening. So Lord, as we heard from this passage, Lord, the disciples saw you in a new way when they went up the mountain to be with you. And I pray tonight that we would see you with fresh eyes, Lord, that you would show us who you are. May we listen to you. May we see you fresh tonight, I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Fantastic. I'm just going to have a sip of water. It's lovely and warm in here. It's toasty. It's great. I'm liking it. Okay, so I wonder, I've got a little question for you. If it comes up, will that work? Oh, have I turned it on? I think I have. That's off. Was it the green light that's on? Want to see the green flash? Have I done that?
Yeah.
Or have I gone back? Oh, what have I done? Can you click me on? Have I done it? Let's try it. There we go. I wonder, what's, just to shout out some things, what are some amazing things, sights, scenes, places that you've been to? Tell me some, what's the most amazing thing that you've seen? Getting you to have a little think for a moment. Just shout some things out that you've seen that are pretty amazing.
Grand Canyon.
Oh, there we go. He's straight in. Well done, Barry. Grand Canyon. I missed that one. Masada. Masada. Oh, what's that?
I don't...
Oh, fantastic. Yes, I should know on that. You have to tell me more about that. That sounds great. Other ones? Yes, beautiful. Done a bit of the Alps and Swiss Alps. Beautiful. Other things that are amazing? Turtles. Yes. Where do you see those, Becca? Caribbean. Well, that's impressive. I've seen them. We saw them last year, didn't we, in Greece, Greek islands. So that was good. They're so cool, aren't they? Any others? Now's your chance. Something that's amazing.
Kill Beach.
Oh, yes, my friends. Yes. Did many a residential there at Kill from taking my teaching days to Kill. Finding fossils down on the beach. Fantastic. Great stuff. Yes, yeah, seasides are amazing, aren't they? Well, oh, yes. Go on. Do one more. Wow, that is impressive, isn't it? So sometimes we think, wow, amazing, it's got to be kind of nature, but actually seeing what man can do, what gifts God's given us, that he can do things, that he can turn a train around, a huge thing, that was fantastic. Where did you see that?
Minehead.
Minehead, yes, fantastic. Great skills, isn't it? The ingenious skills that God's given us. I can't even say that word, it's too tricky. I wonder, so let me show you my one. You might not be please, some of you that are farmers, to see this next one. I'm sorry, but that's the one that I think is amazing. The murmurations. Having only lived in Somerset for a couple of years now, a friend of ours from Leeds, actually, he's a bird watcher. He's called Robin, which is ironic as well. But Robin came down from Leeds and he goes, you live near the, Ham Wall, isn't it? Was that where we went? Yeah, Stuart Marshes. And we went there and I tell you what, it's incredible. It is amazing, some of you that are laughing, but I had never seen it before. And I tell you what blew me away was not just the physicality of the size of it and the movement, all moving in one, but it was the sounds that really took my breath away. It's the sound of all these wings flapping in unison, steering together, not colliding together. And it was almost like the air pressure hitting me. It was quite a spiritual moment, I would say. That's sort of almost like the sense of the Holy Spirit, as he sort of like Jesus when he talked about the dove landing, alighting on his shoulder. It felt like that. It's an amazing scene that I'd seen only a few miles from here. I didn't have to travel far for that one, which was good. But we're thinking tonight about this story of Peter, James, and John. They are chosen to see an incredible sight. The other disciples are left behind. That's a whole other sermon, isn't it? There, what's that about? That Jesus chose the three. But they've been called by Jesus. They've got the privilege of being led by him to this quiet place, a place where they can be alone, away from the crowds. And they've been following and asking, Jesus. And I wonder, even tonight as we start, where do you go when you need some time to be alone? To seek Jesus. Have you got a space that you go to, a place that you go? Maybe God's saying to each of us, come and seek me, come and find me, come away with me. That's often what Jesus said, wasn't it, to his friends, to his disciples. Jesus chose a mountaintop, probably Mount Hermon or Mount Tabor, because they were the ones that were close to Caesarea Philippi. And they were being led by Jesus, all alone, it says. Jesus didn't want the crowds to see. There wasn't a big flashy show of, hey, this is my moment. No, it was Jesus and three of his closest friends. Come away from me, he says. What a privilege. What a joy to be chosen by Jesus to go up that walk, up that hill, up that mountain, spending time with Jesus, talking along the way. What an absolute privilege. Imagine how they must have felt to be chosen. Actually, isn't it amazing that Jesus says to each one of us, you're my child, I choose you. You're my son, my daughter in Christ. You're my friend. We are each chosen by God. And so mountain places, these mountaintops were places of that sense of that closeness to God. They were places where in the Old Testament, it was where those moments where God would meet with his people. And there must have been some expectation as they were walking behind Jesus. Where are we going? What's going to happen? You can imagine. Where's Jesus? Where are we going? The crowd's about that way and you're taking us up the mountain. What's going to happen? there was something holy that was going to happen. They were going to have an encounter with God himself. And so I wonder, are we open to where Jesus is leading us at the moment? Are we open to following Jesus' way, just as these three disciples were? And am I open to what Jesus has for my life, where he's leading me to the times and places where he wants me to encounter him, to notice him, just like Fiona noticed the birds singing in the garden and goes, "Thank you, Lord, I'm going to remember to pray for those that need justice." Where is the Lord prompting and leading each of us? I hope we notice those moments, those quiet moments where he leads us. So what is the amazing thing that these disciples see? Well, it tells us. I'm not sure this is going to work. There it is. It says, there he was transfigured before them. Sounds so matter-of-fact. You go up the mountain, but transfigured. It's this kind of almost blasé how the Bible writes it so matter-of-fact. But what is this transfiguration? Well, I don't do Greek, but the Greek words means metamorpho. It's where we get our metamorphosis word from, isn't it? And I love what it says here. So that bit meta means to change after being with, and morpho, changing form in keeping with the inner reality. The disciples had a glimpse of Jesus' inner reality. They saw that thing, a bit like a caterpillar that's ready to come out as it's metamorphosized. They saw who Jesus was. They saw that he was God himself, the Alpha and the Omega, the first and the last, the one who is and is now and is to come. And this is our Jesus too. They had that encounter, but we now can have that encounter with Jesus. We are privileged to see Jesus. It's just as he was changed before them, we can know him now. We have seen the change. We've seen and know Jesus, the one who went to the cross for each and every one of us and rose again for you and for me. But he is God. That's what they realized. They had that revelation, the one that disciples had to turn their face from in fear. And they went, this is our God. We too have that moment. So am I prepared to see Jesus in a new way? Am I prepared to see this changing form that Jesus is? Am I prepared to see the inner reality of who Jesus is? Or have I made Jesus in how I want to see him? Oh, Jesus, I like my Jesus like this in my little box. Or, wow, Jesus, show me who you are. Jesus, you are amazing. Jesus, you are so much bigger, so much greater. Lord, open my eyes that I would see you. However long you or I have been walking with Jesus, there's always more, isn't there? Isn't that amazing? You know, I've been a Christian now since I was 16, so I've been like, I've learned a few things, but it feels like the more I learn, the less I know or understand. But I love Jesus. The more I find out about him, the more I see his love, his compassion, his heart for those around him. I go, Jesus, I will love you and I follow you. Help me to see you. Help me to see you afresh. So my first point is, do you and I want a fresh encounter with Jesus? Do we want to see Jesus afresh in new ways, in this transfigured, this transforming way? Lord, would you change me and transform me? May I see you, Jesus, tonight. Open my eyes, Lord. I want to see Jesus. And so having had their eyes opened as Jesus is transfigured before them, we then find out what Jesus is like. There we go. There's a little image of the transfiguration there. We find out what Jesus is like in this passage. And these things can help us and remind us of Jesus. Who are you? Who am I trusting in? Who am I following? And the first thing it says in this passage, what Jesus is like, says that he is light. It says in verse 3, his clothes became dazzling white, whiter than any in the world could bleach them. Brilliant advert for whatever soap tablets Jesus was using there, wasn't it? His clothes became whiter than white. God is light. In him there is no darkness at all. Fantastic words from 1 John. Light is that sense of the holiness of God, the purity and perfection of God. Light is at the start of creation. With light, we have only darkness. And there is no darkness in Jesus, only light. Without light, we have no life. And our Jesus is the light of the world. So at that moment where his clothes dazzled bright white, they see the purity, they see the holiness of God. This is our God. Secondly, it says that Jesus fulfilled the law and prophets. And it said, and there appeared before them Elijah and Moses, who were talking with Jesus. That must have been great, wasn't it? Can you imagine that? Just, Jesus, we're going for a walk, and next minute Moses and Elijah appear, and they're just having a little chat. Amazing. They're talking together. These heroes of the Old Testament talking with Jesus. So Moses, who represents the law and the commandments and the way to follow God with his covenant with the people. And then we've got Elijah, who represents the prophets, those that came before Jesus, declaring that he was coming. The one was coming who would save his people, one who would make a way for all to be redeemed and set free. We read in Matthew 5, it says, do not think, this is Jesus speaking, do not think that I've come to abolish the law or the prophets. I've not come to abolish them, says Jesus. What does he say? I've come to fulfill them. So here is Jesus, transfigured, saying, I'm talking with Moses. I'm talking with Elijah. I've come to fulfill all that the Old Testament is bringing. This is our Jesus. This is our God, the one who fulfills all of the Old Testament. And then thirdly, who is Jesus? He is the presence of God. It says, then a cloud appeared and covered them. This sense that the cloud is that hiddenness of God. It's like in Exodus, there was a sign of God's presence, wasn't it? Wherever the cloud went, it was the presence of God, the Spirit of God. It says in Exodus 40, so the cloud of the Lord was over the tabernacle by day, and the fire in the cloud by night, in the sight of all the Israelites during all their travels. Jesus was in the cloud. He was in the very presence of God, the place where he dwells. Just as a cloud of the Lord was over the tabernacle during the Exodus, so the cloud is there. The presence of God fell. Jesus is in the presence of God. We are in the presence of God tonight. When two or three are gathered in my name, there will I be among you. Isn't that amazing? That the same presence that those three disciples that were chosen, the three that were chosen, were in the presence of God. We come tonight simply and we say, come, Lord Jesus. And he says, yeah, I'm here. I'm with you. I'm for you. I'm in this place. My presence is here. And also, he's the one that travels on with us, just as that cloud traveled with the people of Israel. Does Jesus leave us when we walk out that door? Not at all, does he? He promises, I will be with you wherever you go. I will be with you to the end of the age. Thank you, Jesus, that you don't leave me when I walk out of a church building. Your Spirit is with me. Jesus, you promised to be with me, to be for me. He's with each and every one of us tonight, tomorrow morning, this week. Wherever you go, Jesus is with you. His presence is with us. Isn't that amazing? And then lastly, who is Jesus? He's the one that we listen to. I hope you heard and listened to these words. It says, and a voice came from the clouds. This is my son, whom I love. Listen to him. It's an amazing voice from heaven that God calls out. It reminds me of the story of Jesus' baptism. Doesn't it sound the same? The same words? You know where I'm going to go with this. The same words that were said at Jesus' baptism. And a voice came from heaven. It said, you are my son, whom I love, with whom I'm well pleased. There's an echo there, isn't there? God the Father says the most powerful words that Jesus needed to hear and that we need to hear. He says, you are loved. You are loved. I am loved. God sees me. God knows me. And he says to Jesus, my anointing is on him. Listen to him. It's no good that we just go, oh yeah, I believe in Jesus. Trust Jesus. Do you do what he says? No, don't do what he says. It's no good. It doesn't work, does it? If we're following someone, we've got to follow what they say, the way they live. Jesus, well, how did you treat others? Jesus, how did you speak? Jesus, how did you act? Jesus, I need to listen to you. Not just listen. I need to do those things that you've called me to do. I long to hear those words spoken over me. Well done, good and faithful servant, that I've followed the things that Jesus has done. We need to listen to him. Believe that we are loved. We don't just do the things for Jesus because we're fearful. We do it because we are loved. And when we love people, we do the things that they ask us to do and we follow them and trust them. Following Jesus means listening to Jesus, to read his words, to be with Jesus, to listen to the things he said and to then do them. So this is our God. This is what God is like. This is who Jesus is. He's light. He's fulfilled the law and prophets. He is the presence of God. He's the one that we listen to. This is our God. And my question to us is, do I know this Jesus? Do I follow this Jesus, the one who is light, the one who has fulfilled all of the Old Testament law and prophets? Do I recognize his presence wherever I go? Am I listening and putting my trust in him? I hope that each and every one of us has said yes to Jesus and is trusting and following him. And then lastly, my third point, I'm going to miss that one out if that's all right. I'm just going to skip that. Thank you, Jill. In verse 9, where does Jesus take us? Well, you expect Jesus to say to his disciples as they're coming down the mountain, having met with him, having seen his glory, having recognized who Jesus is, you'd expect Jesus to come down the mountain and go, go on, tell everyone. What does he do? Verse 9, as they were coming down the mountain, Jesus gave them orders not to tell anyone what they'd seen until the Son of Man had risen from the dead. They kept the matter to themselves, discussing what rising from the dead meant. Jesus is amazing, isn't he? He never does what we expect him to do. He always goes, ah, yeah, but not now. Just wait. Just wait. Keeps us guessing, keeps us holding on. And bless them, those disciples didn't see the fulfillment of it all, and not until later. We are blessed in that we have seen Jesus. We understand the cross and his resurrection. And we know that he's coming again. But these disciples, they hadn't quite seen it all yet. And so they come down the mountain with Jesus. He said that he's going to rise again. And they've heard him say it just 6 days before when Peter declares that he is the Messiah. And so, therefore, you'd think, ah, they understand it now. But they still don't get it. They still don't understand that Jesus has to die and rise again. Jesus is reminding him that this is the Jesus way. It's a different way to what they're expecting. From a moment of transfiguration to a moment of, but you know I have to go and die. That is not what they were expecting. But this is our God. And you can hear the disciples struggling with this. You can hear them going, well, hang on. Jesus has just been with Moses and Elijah. This is it. Jesus is here. Everything's going to be sorted. But now he's speaking about his death. What? How? How's all that going to work? Jesus is telling them that this is our God. This is what he's like. This is what he has to do. He has to go to his death and resurrection. And as if to demonstrate that his kingdom was coming, he steps down off the mountain and he steps right back into our world of mess. I missed this bit out in the reading, but maybe you have a chance to read it a bit more. As Jesus comes down the mountain, steps off the mountain, and he walks into this argument. The rest of the disciples have been there, and they're trying to heal this young lad who's got epilepsy, and it's not working, and it's chaos, and he's gone, and it's like, whoa, what's going on here? I love the fact that Jesus, the presence of God, isn't just in this lofty mountain place. It comes down into our world and meets with me and with you and with my world tomorrow morning. It comes in. Jesus says, I am with you. I'm in the world of mess with you. I am with you. This is our God, the servant king who comes and humbles himself and steps into our world. He said to them, in verse 31, it says, the Son of Man is going to be delivered into the hands of men. They will kill him, and after 3 days he will rise. That is the good news that we believe. But they didn't understand what it meant, and they were afraid to ask him about it. Jesus steps into our world, and just as the disciples are trying to heal this young boy, Jesus steps in and changes the situation they're in. And he asks, how long's the boy been like this? And they say, well, from childhood. He keeps trying to throw himself into the fire or water to kill himself. And then the dad says this, but if you can do anything, take pity on him. My faith in Jesus can be a bit like that, dad as well, going, oh, Jesus, if you could just do anything, do something. But you hear that Jesus throws it back at him and goes, if you can, he's like, do you not realize who you're talking to? I've just been with Moses and Elijah. I am God himself. Do you not realize who you are asking? Jesus says, everything is possible for the one who believes. I believe in Jesus. I believe everything is possible with Jesus. I don't understand everything with Jesus, but I do trust in Jesus, and I hope you do too. I hope that we can trust him and go, Jesus, will you change situations? Jesus, will you heal my friends? Jesus, will you make a way where things seem impossible? And immediately the boy responds with these words. I wonder if it clicks on. Yeah, these amazing words. The dad says this, I do believe. Help me overcome my unbelief. They're great words, aren't they? I feel like saying those regularly. I go, Jesus, I do believe in you. Oh, but help me overcome my unbelief. When I feel like, Lord, I don't know how to pray for that person. I don't know how to speak into that situation. But Jesus, I do believe in you. I do put my trust in you. Help me. Help me today. Help me tomorrow with my unbelief. Jesus, the one who is light. The one who has broken through the darkness, the one who steps into our broken, messy world. Jesus, help us. We believe in you. You are our God. So Jesus rebukes the spirit, and the spirit leaves the boy. And Jesus takes him by the hand and raises him up. He is resurrected, a sign of what Jesus is going to do himself. He comes back to life. Jesus is still stepping into our broken, hurting world today. He is still healing. He's still seeing people in their point of need. He's still changing lives, transforming them, metamorphosizing each and every one of us. His spirit is at work because his spirit is alive in each and every one of us. We have the privilege and responsibility to bring about healing of Jesus wherever we go, spiritual, physical, life-changing, transforming, healing, because Jesus changes lives. So where does Jesus go? He goes with each and every one of us. Just as he comes down the mountain and steps into the mess that he sees around him, Jesus goes with each and every one of us. As we put our trust in him, he continues to transform our life and those of the lives of people around us. So as I close, just want to maybe ask you these three questions. Maybe you just want to close your eyes and just think on these questions that I ask you tonight. Do you and I want a fresh encounter with Jesus tonight? Do I want to see Jesus in new ways? Do I want him to come and transform my life? Jesus, help me to see you, to see your glory, to see your light, to see your fulfillment. Jesus, help me to know your presence tonight, I pray. I'll just ask you one more question. Where do you need to take Jesus with you tonight as you go home, or tomorrow morning in your workplace, in your street, in your community? Where is Jesus needed with you this week? Lord Jesus, we thank you that you promise to be with us. You promise to go with us. You promise that you will never leave us or forsake us. Holy Spirit, would you come and fill each of us with your presence right now? Fill us afresh, that we would know your love for us, that we would know your presence with us, that we would know your strength with us in every situation that we face. Jesus, we long to see you. Give us eyes to see you, to know your presence tonight, I pray. Amen. Amen. I'd like us just to sing in way of response, just a really simple song. Is it number 50? Is it that one? Be Still. Yeah, that'd be great. Can we sing Be Still? Be still for the presence of the Lord. And it'd be lovely just to sing this quietly as a response to say, Lord, I want to be still. I want to know your presence with me tonight and this week. So let's sing quietly. So staying seated, be still. Lord Jesus, we thank you for your presence with us tonight. Thank you for your words spoken into each of our lives. Pray, Holy Spirit, you would just seal that now, Lord, that we would go into this week knowing the truth of what we've heard. Thank you for your presence with us. Thank you for each person here, Lord, and I pray that they would know you with them, guiding them, keeping them, restoring them. And I pray for fresh ways that each of us would see you this week, Lord. I pray for those surprise moments where we notice something new and we recognize your goodness and your love and your presence with us, Lord. Surprises, I pray, in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. I'd love us just to sing.